Hello, everybody. With Bob Christopher and Richard Piper, I'm Bob Davis, and this is Basic Gospel. We're live right now to allow you to be a part of the broadcast, to pose your question or discuss your real-life issues. We invite your calls right now at 1-800-677-9377. The Word of God reveals true freedom and life in Jesus Christ. It's Basic Gospel, and it intersects with your life every day. Give us a call right now if you have something you'd like to discuss. That toll-free number, good in the U.S. and Canada, 1-800-677-9377. Now, here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. We're starting a brand new month. I just can't believe we're already in the month of June. My, has this year flown by. But we're very excited about what the month of June holds. We have a conference later this month, June 19th through the 21st, STAND 2014. Registrations are starting to happen, and we're very excited about the turnout. And there's plenty of room, and we hope as many people out there will take advantage of this. But also, as far as radio is concerned, we're talking about the Holy Spirit this month. And I think that's one of the most confusing topics, biblical topics, there are. Why? Because there's so much, error and just all kinds of human opinion being thrown out there. But this month we hope to take you into the Word of God and show you who the Holy Spirit is and what His work is in our lives. It's one of the most practical realities that we can come to in the Bible. So we're very excited about what's going to happen as far as this month is concerned. We will be talking about spiritual gifts.
Yes.
We will be talking about the gift of tongues. We'll be taking all kinds of questions in that regard. I know every time we mention the gift of tongues, man, the phones usually just light up.
Right.
And we're expecting that to be the case this month as well. I know for me, the Holy Spirit was a topic I didn't want to get near for many, many years. When I was a kid, across the street, there was a house, and three sisters lived there. And they were involved in some type of holy roller church, is how it was described to me. And at odd hours during the day and during the night, we would just hear these loud screams and just weird noises coming from that house. And folks would tell us that's the Holy Spirit getting on these women and moving them. And it just scared me to death.
The bejeevers.
Absolutely. And I thought, I don't want anything to do with that. But as I, you know, got older, I went to camp and came to know Jesus, and 7 or 8 years later really had my life revolutionized when I learned about the new life that I have in Christ. And at that point, the ministry of the Holy Spirit became very important to me. Just exactly what He does in our lives. And that's when the Christian life started exploding as far as I was concerned. And I really started enjoying, I think, what God had called us to, and that was this new life. And all of that rest upon the work of God's Spirit in our lives. So we're going to start today, I think, the only place that we can, and that's in the book of John, John 16. Jesus has gathered His disciples, and He's imparting the final words to them before He dies and is going to be buried, and then 3 days later raised back to life. But He's preparing His disciples. And He says in verse 7 of chapter 16, it says, "But in fact, it is best for you that I go away." Now, that wasn't good news for the disciples. That was very disconcerting for them. I mean, they had been with the Lord for 3+ years. They had experienced His love in ways that no one else on the planet had. I mean, they were part of His inner circle. And now Jesus has gathered them and says, "I'm going away." I mean, their hearts must have just stopped beating in their chest. Their jaws must have just hit the ground. I mean, you can just imagine what that news was like for them. But He says, "It's to your advantage that I go away, for if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you, and the Helper is the Holy Spirit. But if I go, I will send Him to you. And when He comes, He will convict the world concerning sin and righteousness and judgment." So what's the work of God's Spirit in our lives? It's to convict us wrong about sin, about righteousness and about judgment. Concerning sin, because they do not believe in me. Concerning righteousness, because I go to the Father, and you will see me no longer. And concerning judgment, because the ruler of the world is judged. So we have an idea or a definition of sin, and we define it by all of these acts that we do that we call sinful acts. And we understand that as people. And we have all types of words that we use to describe our sins. Oh, I made a mistake. I did a boo-boo or something like that. But that's how we recognize sins. But Jesus wanted to get to the root. What is the root cause of all of those acts that we label as sin? Well, it's the Holy Spirit's job to convict us of that, to point that out to us. And so, Richard, what is the world's sin?
There's really only one, and that's unbelief in Jesus.
That's the problem,
isn't
it? That's
the problem.
That is the problem that's in the world. There's sins, yes. Jesus' death dealt with sins, took them away once and for all. But that leaves still that underlying problem, and that underlying problem is unbelief in Jesus. That's the only sin that will actually send someone to hell. It's that refusal to come to Christ and receive his very life. That's called unbelief in Jesus. And it's the Holy Spirit's job to convict us about that. And when he does, then we can turn from our unbelief to belief in Christ. That's what repentance is called. That's what the Bible talks about as far as that 180 in our lives is concerned. We were going about life, everything was a-okay, but we were in rebellion toward God, so much so that we refused to believe in his Son. And then the Holy Spirit brought that to our attention. He convicted our hearts and our minds, and we turned from unbelief to belief. That's the Holy Spirit's job. That's why his work is some of the most practical work that we benefit from in our Christian lives.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, this is Basic Gospel, everybody. And if the Spirit is leading you to be a part of the broadcast, why, we encourage you to come on in right now. The number you'll need is this, 1-800-677-9377. That's toll-free in the U.S. and Canada, 1-800-677-9377. If you have something on your mind, let's talk about it right now on today's edition of Basic Gospel with Bob Christopher, Richard Piper, and me, Bob Davis. 1-800-677-9377.
And because this is Holy Spirit Month, we have a wonderful offer that we would like to put into your hands. It's a CD, a single CD message entitled About Spiritual Gifts. It's a fresh look at what spiritual gifts are supposed to be, who gives them, why he gives them, and how they are to be used in our relationships one to another. So we want to put that in your hands. It's available for a gift of any amount to Basic Gospel. So take advantage of this. It's a single CD called About Spiritual Gifts.
And as always, the prominent link is right on our homepage at basicgospel.net, or you can call and speak with our operator at 1-800-727-2828.
Well, let's go to the Bronx and talk to Umberto listening to us on WMCA. Hi, Umberto.
Hey, good afternoon. Thank you for taking my call.
You are so welcome. How can
we
help you today?
Some advice.
Okay.
I just need some advice. I'm a Christian. I've been a Christian for over 30 years. I've been married to a non-Christian, pretty much a person who's Catholic, but no spiritual background or foundation. And about 7.5 years ago, she began some sort of like an affair, where it just went to the point where there hasn't been no intimacy in my marriage for 7.5 years. I haven't touched another woman, and I've been waiting, but we've been separated for a year and a half, and I've sort of like moved on, and now I'm ready to divorce after waiting and many prayers. And I've met another Christian lady who has been through the same situation as me, betrayed, and she's been alone for like 4 years, and now that we're talking and getting to know each other, all of a sudden now my wife, she wants to get back into and trying to make things work, but she hasn't apologized for anything, it's just very hurtful what I went through. And now that I'm sort of like moving on, she's coming out of, you know, with this curveball. And I'm really confused as to what to do.
Well, here's what the Bible has to say in verse 12 of 1 Corinthians chapter 7. And Paul writes this, "To the rest I say this, I not the Lord, if any brother has a wife who is not a believer and she is willing to live with him, he must not divorce her." So you have a interesting situation there. She's been kind of separated from you in her mind emotionally for a number of years. You have started to separate from her in your mind and emotionally and certainly physically as well. And now she wants to get back into the picture. Y'all aren't divorced. And so she wants to get back into the picture. Don't know all of her motivations there. But I think as her husband, Umberto, it behooves you to sit down and listen and to find out really where she is. And if there is interest in reconciliation, allow God to work in your life and in your heart and to refocus your attention back to her. I think that would be my advice to you at this particular point. I said you have all of these feelings that are leading you in a different direction. You have this other person that you've befriended. And I think you just have to step back from that for a period of time and put your attention back on your wife, hear her out, and see if there's any possibility that God can restore that marriage and make it better than what it's ever been.
I know it's very difficult because I endure a lot of pain and suffering for 7.5 years, you know what I mean, and being separated for a year and a half, and I think that it's just she didn't even apologize. She just wants to. She didn't even mention anything about the affair. And
well, I think you need to bring. I think you need to bring that up, Umberto. Don't leave that in her hands. Bring it up and say, "Listen, you have hurt me deeply. And I've longed for this moment that we could talk, that we could bring everything to light, put it out on the table, and we can discuss it. And if there's a willingness to do that, if you're willing to recognize how deeply you hurt me, then we have something that we can actually talk about. So don't just let her be the one to bring that up. Talk to her and tell her this is what you did to me. This is what I've experienced. But I'm willing to work through that in hopes that God can restore us, can reconcile us. But if you're not willing to admit, you know, your affair and all of those sort of things, it's going to be very difficult for us to move forward. And I think you just lay that out on the table. As clearly as you possibly can.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
You are welcome, Umberto. Let me send you a copy of a book that I wrote that may be helpful to you. It's called Love Is. It's just a fresh look at the love that God has for you. And I think that's very important for you to know that as you talk with your wife, okay? Let me put you on hold and we'll send it to you.
Well, this is Basic Gospel, everybody. We have plenty of open lines, plenty of time on the clock. If you'd like to add to the conversation, if you have something you'd like to discuss, perhaps a Bible question you can't, a Bible passage you can't quite understand, a good opportunity to pose that question to Bob and Richard on this edition of Basic Gospel. And to do that, simply call 1-800-677-9377. That's good, as I said, in the U.S. and Canada, 1-800-677-9377. The lines are wide open right now. I had a question from Everton, who wrote to us from the Bronx. He says, "Hi, guys. Would you give me your take on 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 6? That's 2 Corinthians 9, 6, where it talks about sowing and giving and expecting. That's from Everton in the Bronx.
Well, thank you, Bob. And Everton, thank you for writing to us. This is one of those verses that it doesn't do you any good to just look at that one verse. because we can make all sorts of things out of it. But it's a verse that's a part of a larger context as Paul talks to us about the grace of giving. And he's actually encouraging us to excel in the grace of giving. I think if you want to know about Christian giving, New Covenant giving, these two chapters, 2 Corinthians 8 and 9, are the places where you go. So, Richard, in context of what Paul is saying to us, what does this verse in chapter 9 actually mean? Whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows generously will also reap generously.
Well, what everybody hopes is that if I give a lot of money, I get a car. That's not what it means. Paul is talking about generosity, about helping other people. And in fact, at the beginning of this chapter, he says, you know, you really don't need me to write to you about this because you're already doing it. So I'm just bringing this up so other people who read this letter will understand what it is you've already committed to do in your relationship with Christ. And so this is one of those things where you recognize what you've been given in Jesus, and how can you not share that? How can you not move that on down the line for other people? And it involves money, but it involves a lot more than that. It involves all of us. How much time I spend with people, what I say to people, how encouraging I am instead of critical, all those kinds of things. And what we're doing in this kind of giving, this spirit-led giving, is really giving of ourselves. And whatever it is that makes up me as a child of God, I give it to somebody else because God already gave it to me and just wants me to overflow to other people.
Yeah, it's real simple, isn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, and it's just talking about being generous, being willing to give. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think there's a lot of people who write a check and put it in the offering plate at church or send it to a ministry, but they do so grudgingly. It's not something that they really want to do. It's not something that they're really interested in doing, but they feel like they have to. And so they get by or try to get by with the least amount that they can possibly give. Well, they haven't come in contact with the generous one. I mean, the one who laid down his life for them so that they could have life everlasting. Maybe there's been a small connection there, but they haven't just been overwhelmed by the love of God in their lives. Because when you are, generosity is just a natural outflow, isn't it?
Yeah, it is.
Yeah. Well, let's go to Indiana and talk with Lisa. Hi, Lisa.
Hello. Can you hear me?
We sure can. What's on your mind today?
I have a question. I'm looking for a resource for a teacher. I'm not Catholic, but my child goes to a Catholic school, and the teacher recently, a fifth grade class, told the students that the Bible is not, only the Gospels are real, are true, and the rest are just kind of made-up stories to help people understand things like mythology is used or like the Native Americans used in order to explain things that happened. And so as the year goes to an end, I wanted to give that teacher a little gift or something that maybe a book or something that can help her understand the truth. And so I was going to write some things in there, too, but I wanted something, you know, that was readable and that she would read, not something thick and big that she would just throw to the side. Do you have any thoughts on that?
Well, Lisa, what I would suggest to you, we did actually a Bible study guide. It's called The New Covenant Journey, and put some Bible passages out there, asked some questions about those Bible passages, and really gives a person an understanding of what this gospel message is all about. But we do have a chapter in there on the Word of God, and we have some very important I think side notes to let somebody know how the Word of God came about and the fact that we can trust every single word, not as just, you know, story or myth or something like that, but we can recognize that what's been written is actually true. It's historical. These are events that occurred, and we can trust that. We can trust the accuracy of the Word of God. So I would love to send this to you, put this in your hands, and see if that will help her.
Perfect. Thank you. Do I just stay on the line?
Yeah, I'll put you on hold, and we'll get all your information, and we'll send it to you.
Okay, thank you. Thank you.
You hang on, Lisa, and thanks for your call. Hope this helps her.
This particular Bible study called The New Covenant Journey is available from our bookstore at store.basicgospel.net, along with many resources to help you understand better the Scripture and to grow and mature in the Lord Jesus Christ. We encourage you to go there and poke around, and there'll be many things of interest to you. Again, that's at store.basicgospel.net.
Well, thanks, Bob. Let's go out to San Francisco and talk with Melvin, listening to us on KDIA. Hi, Melvin.
Hello, guys. How are you? I got a question. In what sense is the prosperity gospel not good? I mean, because if you're not a prosperous person, how can you help others? I know we're not supposed to help through money only, but if you don't have enough money, even though you want to share, I mean, you have other responsibilities. If you don't have a
well, Melvin, let me jump in. Your phone line is a little hard to understand, but I think I got the gist of your question. What about the prosperity gospel? God certainly isn't against us having riches. God isn't against us having wealth. It's our attitudes toward riches or wealth that he's most concerned with. He said the love of money, not money, but the love of money is the root of all evil. And Jesus said you can't serve two masters. You can't serve God and mammon or money at the same time. So oftentimes we hold up money as an idol. We bow down and worship it because we believe money can bring us happiness. Money can bring us contentment. Money can bring us power. Money can bring us prestige. So in that sense, that's a very negative thing. And certainly there are those out there, Melvin, who would say that godliness is a means to financial gain. That's the essence of the prosperity gospel. The real gospel is a means to godliness. And what I mean by that is simply this, that through faith in Jesus Christ, we have an opportunity to become the human beings that God actually created us to be, sharing his life, sharing his love, and doing so freely and generously, not to get something back, simply to give for the sake of giving. But the prosperity gospel would say you do godly things in order to gain financially. And to those who teach that, Paul had some very harsh words, that they have basically lost their minds. They have been robbed of the truth. So what they're teaching isn't in accordance with what the truth of the Word of God is. So Melvin, does that make sense? God isn't against you being prosperous. God isn't against you working hard and reaping from your labors. What he is against is loving money over and above him. So I hope that helps, Melvin. Thanks for your call. We sure appreciate it.
Yes, indeed. Thanks to everybody who called to be a part of this one, and we'll do it again tomorrow. Hope you're able to join us at that particular time. Spiritual gifts. It's a controversial topic today, just as it was in the early church in Corinth. But are all the gifts still active? Do we get to choose what gift we want? What are the purposes of spiritual gifts? Well, these are questions that drive the controversy and make spiritual gifts such an explosive topic. There is a more excellent way, as the Bible declares. It is the love of God that cuts through the controversy and brings clear, uplifting answers. It's a CD by Bob Christopher, and it's called About Spiritual Gifts. And in the CD, Bob shows the provider of spiritual gifts, the purpose of spiritual gifts, and the power of spiritual gifts. Are you ready to take a fresh look at spiritual gifts through the eyes of God? Well, if so, we hope that this particular CD will be of help to you. About Spiritual Gifts, yours for a gift of any amount to Basic Gospel. To request your copy, you can do that today by calling 1-800-727-2828 and speaking with our operator. Again, that's 1-800-727-2828. Or go online to our website at basicgospel.net, and you'll find a prominent link right there on the home page. June 19th through the 21st are the dates of our Bible conference, Dan 2014, featuring John Lynch, Andrew Farley, and Bob Christopher. We hope that many of you folks outside the Dallas area, across the country, and literally from across the waters can make your plans to come and be with us. We're under a month away now, just a few weeks away, and still plenty of time, of course, to make those arrangements, and I think you're going to be glad you did. Stand 2014, finding solid footing in a broken world. And for information and registration, visit the website stand2014.com. We'll be back tomorrow. Hope you'll join us. See you then. Bye-bye.